The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast. I've got a couple guys here that I know pretty well from AgPro. I've got Nathan Gamble and George Callen. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Glad you guys could take time to come on. I've known Nathan for a long time, I just met George about a year or two ago, I think, Moving Iron Summit. But for everybody, kind of what we're doing here, George or Nathan, why don't you start with you and kind of introduce yourself and what it is that you do for AgPro?
Yeah, Nathan Gamble, used equipment manager for AgPro. Been in the John Deere business since 2000. Been in the equipment industry my entire life. So,
what I do. Yeah, I'm George Callen. I'm the used equipment coordinator for AgPro. I've been working here for 4 years in this current role. So, grew up farming and things like that, or family farming. And, always kind of been around equipment, so it's kind of was the next step.
Right on. All right, well, let's get into it, man. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. So, well, you guys, you know, AgPro's got some stuff up in Ohio, and you got your stuff down in Georgia and in that area and those places. So, talk a little bit about where you guys are at, what you see happening as far as, you know, crop mix. Sounds like I've talked to some people where more cotton acres are getting planted than corn acres, those kind of things. So, I guess, you know, Nathan, we'll start with you. What are you seeing in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, so we've got obviously cotton heavy in this, you know, South Georgia area. We've got a little bit of North Florida, but predominantly for our what we're going to call large ag stores in the southern group, it's cotton and peanuts. It's going to be a little tilt towards peanuts this year, just for pure commodity price standpoint. Cotton's still a little depressed, but that's what we're seeing. I mean, you know, we have some rotational crops. I mean, we've got some guys that do some corn, some sweet corn, and you know, some beans, but vast majority of what we do down here in the southern group is cotton and peanuts. And then, of course, you know, a lot of beans, a lot of corn up in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah. So, not much cotton up in Ohio.
Correct.
Yeah. George, what are you seeing from your perspective?
Yeah, so me and Nathan, we're out of the same area down here in South Georgia. So, I mean, same type thing, you know, peanuts, cotton. You got some folks doing field corn, sweet corn, but yeah, just same thing.
Same deal. Right on. So let's spend a little time talking about the cotton side of the equipment business. Deere's pretty much, I don't know, is there anybody else that makes a cotton picker right now? Is there, there's a few international companies that do some stuff, but primarily it's, yeah. So I guess as you're looking at what's going on the cotton side, Deere's done a really good job, in my opinion, of on the allocation side. I mean, people probably want to argue that a little bit when they can't get them, but when you're looking at the overall allocation side that we've seen on the cotton side of the business, it's really kind of it's really healed that up. I remember back in 2012 when cotton pickers were everywhere and they kind of came back in with this allocation system. So I guess, Nathan, from your perspective, as you're looking at the overall used cotton picker marketplace, what are you seeing right now and how's that evolving from what you've seen maybe over the last 5 years?
Yeah, so, you know, it's – the relief valve for us has been exports, and probably any dealer involved in cotton has been export. And we feel like that's, it's not dried up, but it's definitely softened.
Right.
And, you know, just the nature and the dollar amount of those new machines, it's, you know, it can be risky business because you have to have a second home for that picker. And, you know, they're, you know, I mean, legitimately $1 million now. So, you know, we just have to be a little aware that the export market is slowing. And so we're trying to be a little smarter about how we enter the market on new machines and on our trade backs. So
I think this is something you talk about dynamics in marketplaces and how things move and what that looks like. Before the CP series cotton picker came out, you know, you had a cotton picker and bull modules and all these different things that came into play that required a lot more tractors than what you're seeing now. As you take a look at your tractor market, on your used tractor market, how has that changed over the last, since the introduction of the CP series combine cotton picker?
Yeah. So, and I'm again, just speaking for the Southern group here, we used to sell a ton of 7 series tractors and you know, there was a lot, I mean, 7830s were everywhere back when they were, you know, 7810, 7820, 7830s. And that space for us is really dried up. Just the farmer doesn't have a need. And a lot of what that tractor used to do was to pull a 6-row peanut combine and pull the wagons for the dump carts for the pickers, the module builders. And that's just evaporated for us. You know, we still have some dairies that run 7 series, but the vast majority of our guys are just using an 8 series to still pull the peanut pickers, and they don't have that 7 series need anymore.
Yeah. So you think more 8 series have kind of filled that void, or is it just, is it less tractors all around that you're selling than beforehand, probably
some less tractors, but I think the guys that used to run a 7 series have just filled that void with an 8 series because they don't, you know, it's not tied up on a module builder now.
Right. So George, as you kind of look in your role, talk a little bit about what your role does for AgPro.
So I do a handful of things with AgPro. Specifically, I focus on a lot of the trade group stuff. We got trade groups for the South and Ohio, and I help keep track of that and, you know, input what we want to put in it and, you know, what we actually put in, things like that. Really, I do a lot of wholesale and dealer transfer. That's been a big focus of mine, especially the past couple of years. We've really, you know, we've done a lot of that.
Yeah.
But really, man, anything used equipment, I'm kind of.
You got your fingers on it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Right on. So let's talk a little bit about the wholesale marketplace when you're seeing out there. As you kind of do your back and forth with what's going on out there, what's the what do you see right now in the wholesale market? Because, if you know, obviously the market's going through correction right now. We're seeing, obviously, row crop tractors are having their moment in the sun here, I guess, but not necessarily getting sunburned more than they're getting anything. But I guess as you're looking at that row crop marketplace, what are you seeing happen out there?
I think it's definitely slowed down a lot. I mean, if you want to move tractors right now, you got to be priced right in them, or, you know, be ready to take some money off to get a move. But it's definitely slowed down a lot from the past, you know, 2 or 3 years from COVID and things like that. At that point, you know, as y'all know, stuff was hard to get. But now it seems like there's just so much on the market right now. Things just aren't moving like they were.
Yep. Yeah. So that's the crazy thing about COVID. You know, it went through that period where supply chain was so jacked up and everything. You know, Nathan, as you look at your used equipment and you're going across all your used equipment, you know, remarking stuff that you're doing, it almost felt like in 23, that first quarter of 23, everybody got what they had been missing for the last couple of years, and it just kind of
filled in through the rest of 23. I always thought that 23 would be a year that stuff came back, but it'd be kind of a slow trickle into 24. But man, was that not, that was not what happened. So every manufacturer, it feels like, just dumped everything there in the first two quarters of 23. Talk a little bit about the growth of your inventory and what you see happening there.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we were relatively healthy coming into COVID and yep. then just absolutely bottomed out from an inventory level standpoint. So we're building back up and, you know, we're trying to pull some levers to make sure that we process through some of this stuff, because we obviously have some trades out there that were committed and have been committed.
Sure.
You know, that's part of the issue with our sales cycle on new equipment specifically. You know, you take your EOPs and you may be 6 or 9 months out.
Yep.
And you just have to, you know, crystal ball it the best you can.
That's right. That's exactly right. Best way to put it. All right.
Yeah. And obviously the market's changing, the market's shifting. I mean, it's
yep.
sand shifting under our feet now. But
yep.
You know, I think we're in a much better situation today compared to where we were, say, back in 2012, and that we're being a little more proactive instead of reactive. We, you know, if there's a trade that we have committed to that we know we're wrong in, that we're going to set to market a lot quicker than what we probably would have done in the past.
Yeah, that's the one thing about, I think people don't realize that are outside looking in this industry is, you know, you order, going out and order a new truck, with the exception of what happened during COVID, you know, you get a new vehicle, you're 6 weeks out, right?
Right.
You know, you order, and even in the best of times, you order a new tractor, you're at a minimum 3 months out, right? So a lot can happen in a quarter, you know, a lot of moving parts there.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah. Right. I mean, you get, and especially, you know, it seems like in our industry, you have selling periods where, you know,
yeah.
your plant and your harvest and naturally, because of that cycle, you have, and we're part of this as well, but there are dealers that have big auctions during those time frames mm-hmm. too. So,
yeah.
You know, as you're trying to retail, there's some auction, you know, a lot of auction action as well that, to your point, can reset markets literally yeah. within a day.
And that's the thing too about this industry as a whole. Every manufacturer, like, there's like a 3 month window where everything gets ordered.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
yeah.
you go from like February to, well, I guess it's probably longer than that. It's like a 4 or 5 month window, right? So you go like from February through tillage all the way through, you know, your combine harvesting, you know, cotton pickers, all those things kind of get ordered in that same period. But then the rest of the time you're waiting for that new stuff to get in. But like you said, you've inked that deal. So you're just like, you know, I've seen what's coming. I've seen what's happened in the past. I kind of feel like what's coming. And so now I'm going to get my dartboard out and see if I can't hit the right number this time. Well, yeah. As things get pulled through. So yeah, it's definitely a trip when you start looking at it like that.
Yep.
George, when you're looking at what's going on now, talk a little bit about, from your perspective, where do you see some bright spots right now in the marketplace? What's out there right now that you're saying, like, you know, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be?
I mean, honestly, I don't think sprayers aren't horrible. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, we're just going plant
sure.
season.
Yep.
So I think that's the reason for that. So I think those are staying all right. Values are, you know, staying decent on those. But as far as row crop and combines and things like that, those aren't. Mm-hmm. We had a auction back, you know, in February for pre-planting and sold some planters on there, and planters just, you know, they aren't where we need them to be either. So there's a, I don't know, very, very little.
Right. Now, I'd agree with you on the sprayer side. And if you look at the number of sprayers on the marketplace and how they've not really, I did something the other day, I was doing something for a presentation I was putting together, and I, you know, track the tractor house, how many pieces are on tractor house and those kind of things. And from 2023 of like February of 23 to February of 24, there was something like an increase in the number of real crop tractors that could put on the marketplace. And what's surprising one to me was planters. Planters are one of those things where going through 14, when everybody auctioned all those planters off and it was, you know, everybody's inventory went to about zero. I kind of quit paying attention to where planters were at. Well, I did the same exercise with planters, you know, because I kind of don't have four pillars of used equipment or tractors, combines, sprayers, and planters, you know. And so I was looking at the planter market, and they had like an increase in the yeah. number of planters out there, which just shows you, you know, everybody. I think there was a great need for everyone. They were like, okay, we need to update our planter now. We got some capital. Let's go do that, make that stuff happen. And I really thought that, you know, the whole puck thing would have had more of an impact on the marketplace. Especially going through COVID when it felt like you couldn't order the whole planter, but you could order the row units and get stuff planted on there, get stuff hung on those bars. But you know, I guess, you know, either one of you guys answer this question. I guess as you're looking at that puck side of the thing, are your customers being reactive to that? Do you feel like there's some folks looking at, hey, a new one costs X, I can do the upgrade kit for Y, and it makes more sense for my market?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little more prevalent in Ohio than it is down here. But there are some customers, you know, utilizing the programs, and Deere has, you know, put some incentives behind it to try to push it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like the whole puck install scheme is quite nailed down at a dealer level just yet.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And maybe there's some dealers that are just better at it than we've been. But
so new, right?
Yeah. That piece of it still hasn't really been zoned in to where both Deere and the dealer are comfortable enough with it to really sell it to the customer the appropriate way.
Yep. Have you looked at anything, George, on the use side where you've seen some used pucks come in that have been, you know, they've been upgraded and then they trade them in?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I've definitely had some people ask about them and things like that and kind of go over the programs, but not really that I'm aware of or that I've, you know, been involved with. So.
Yeah. So one thing I've seen a lot of guys talk about too is on, so obviously planter upgrade kits have been around since what, 15 or whatever, since the 5 series planter came out, I guess you want to put it out there like that. Kind of what that looks like. And if you want to throw, you know, sprayers are starting to kind of show that glimmer of now you can pretty much redo a whole sprayer.
Right.
Any interest on that with your guys that you're seeing? Cause it's just one of those things where most guys are looking at it like, I don't know if I want to go through that. Yeah. That's a lot, you know. So I don't guess I would like your opinion on that. If you see much people looking at the sprayer side,
I haven't seen it. I mean, George can speak up. I mean, we definitely don't see it.
Yeah, I mean
that I can tell. I mean, you know, it kind of reminds me, Casey, of you know how some of the big CNF dealers how they have their rebuilds.
Yeah,
but like if you look at Pat or a big Deere CNF dealer, but the way they do it is they have one facility that does all that. Remands.
Yep,
and I think. As we march down this road, you know, as equipment starts to get more expensive or is continually getting more expensive, and you may have some customers that decide to do that with their 5 to 10 year old piece of equipment instead of buying new, is to upgrade it, or reman it. And so, you know, I don't know, maybe there's a few Deere dealers out there that have that process in place. So we haven't got there yet, but it's an interesting theory to try to walk down that road. Marketplace will support it.
You know, you bring that up, Nathan, and I, you know, early in my career, I worked for a cat dealer, you know, back in when I first started doing this. And that was a common thing, you know, they'd have the motor grader or the scraper or whatever would come through. And it's the second time going through the program. It's got, you know, 50,000 hours on it or whatever. And they, you know, tear it down and put it all back together again. I never really thought of it like that. But you just brought up a good point there where you're going to get to a point where you're going to have these, you know, rebuild centers that are going to. They're going to do these kind of things. And because it's like, just like anything else, it's like anything else you do. You got technicians out there that are really good or a shop that's really good at a specific thing, you know, whether that's, you know, like in your guys, every shop you got, you probably have an expert that's on the picker side, right? That really understands what that looks like, where you've got a specific area that's better at that specific model than somebody else's. Right. And then when that machine goes someplace else, it's like the wheels on the bus fall off trying to figure out what's going on around, you know? I think that's what we're going to start running into here on this is that you can't necessarily have, because it's all about time, right? You know, you're how fast you can get through it, your efficiency is getting through it, and then, you know, doing it right the first time type deal.
That's right.
It's going to come. So that's I never really thought about it like that, but that's a good scenario to take a look at it where there's going to be these rebuild shops as things move forward. So.
Yeah, and that's going to take the manufacturers being able to stand behind it too.
Sure.
And there has to be some training process in place to make sure that there's some standards there, but. I think that, you know, I mean, a cotton picker to me is a great example of, you know, I mean, unless there's a dynamic shift in the market where you go from a module picker to a round picker, that's different. But, it's, you know, I mean, a round picker is a round picker. They've been able to increase ground speed a little bit over the past 15 years since they've been out. But really, they're the same machine. So if you could have a manufacturer program that facilitates that rebuild process, I think there's probably a lot of guys that would engage in that. Yeah. But obviously, you know, not there yet on the agricultural side, whereas especially on
your guys that aren't farming as many acres as, you know, that aren't farming 10,000 acres, your guys are farming 1,000, you know, those guys would specifically be
That's going to be an interesting dynamic about the upgrade kit side of it too. Is I think it from just a dollars and cents perspective, right? So you get a $1 million picker, and let's just say there's an upgrade kit that you can do for a picker somewhere down the line that does whatever. It kind of opens those doors up to that smaller 1,500 acre farmer or whatever that can now have the latest technology go. Because I think about this a lot. You know, you start thinking about what See & Spray does, for example. Let's use that for example. You know, See & Spray is one of those deals where if it does do the 70 plus chemical and all the stuff that you're spraying and the sure shot system on the planter and those kind of things, we start looking at that. Well, you know, the CHSs of the world and the nutrients and those kind of things, they're not going to sit back and be like, well, it looks like we just lost 70% of our market cap here. So, well, I guess we'll figure it out. Obviously, right. Those things come in place. It's good to look at how those things come together. George, last question here for you. As you take a look at what's going on, and Nathan, you too, as you take a look at what's going on dynamically through this planting season, going into that lull between planting and harvest where when it's just kind of on pins and needles, what's going to, did I get enough rain? Did I get this? Did I get that? You know, all those things come into play. What do you see? Kind of what's your thoughts moving forward through the rest of 24?
Well, I mean, with it being election year, as y'all know, that's up in the air. There's no real way of knowing what's going to happen, especially, like I said, with it being election. But I'm hoping as 24 moves on, we get closer to harvest and things like that. Hopefully it'll get a little better, but maybe that's just me being optimistic. I'm not sure. But, yeah, that's the hope anyway.
Yeah. The election year is always a wild card, man.
Yeah.
What you think is going to happen doesn't, and then what you don't hope doesn't happen does usually. So, yeah, exactly. Nathan, what do you see happening, man? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'll return to normal. But I think out of that, you know, there's going to be some COVID hangover.
Sure.
And there's probably a lot of dealers that swore they would never get back into the position they're probably going to be in over the next 12 months.
Yeah.
And made that commitment pre-COVID. And then obviously things, you know, things, when things get that easy, you know, mistakes are made. You know, we're not the only ones, and most dealers are going to be in the same boat. So we're just going to have to, you know, but again, just be reactive, you know, react to it ahead of time, which we're doing now. So,
yep.
I don't see it. It's not going to get any better over the next 12 months.
No, it's going to be tough. I look into like midway through 25 before we get to the quote unquote new normal, whatever that is, you know, whatever that looks like.
You know, with that is going to be, you know, these salesmen that have came on and joined us during COVID when times were so good is trying to, you know, get them kind of used to what the new normal is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, pre-COVID numbers and things like that, that's going to be a struggle, but, you know, it'll all work out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking about what you see happening in your area. You guys got special programs or anything out there you want to talk about before we close down?
Yeah, so we've got a 3-9 program out there for 3.9% for 60 months on 6-9 series, planters, sprayers. Also have a turf and construction equipment auction coming up later this month. So on the 23rd of April, MerrittAuctions.com. George, I mean, that's what we've got for right now.
Yeah, that's right. That the Merritt sale, it'll be a 2-day sale, the 23rd and 24th. So y'all, you know, go on there. The catalog's up. Everything's not finalized. They're still working on that. But go on there and check it out, you know.
Yeah, good group over there at Merritt Auctions. Those guys are really good. Is it online only, or is it live too, or how, are you online?
Yeah. Online only. Everything's selling from our yards. So
okay.
Multiple locations, several states, five states represented. So
okay.
But as to George's point, catalog's up, so you know, feel free to get in there and check it out.
Right on. All right, so Nathan, folks want to reach out to you. What's the easiest way for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah. Email ngamble@agproco.com.
Right on. George, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yep, same thing. Email is gcallen@agproco.com.
Right on. Okay. And both of you guys have been to the Moving Iron Summit, so I'd love your feedback there. We'll talk a little bit about what you guys gained from that when you guys come to it.
You know, I mean, we were kind of the original deal back years ago. It's been fun to see how it's grown. You've done a great job with it, Casey. So it's great to get around other guys in the industry and just some of these guys you don't see but once a year or every other year, depending on how often you go. So George is pretty recent, so maybe he has a little better input and insight.
Yeah, to that point, like I said, I've only been here in this industry for 4 years. So Being able to go to the Moving Iron Summit, that's helped me make a lot of contacts and networking and things like that. And, and like Nathan said, put a face to the name. You know, the people you're working with, emailing all the time, or talking to on the phone. It's nice to be able to meet those guys and actually, you know, get to know them and things like that. I think it helps out a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There's guys I still talk to today that if they were standing next to me, I wouldn't know what they looked like.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's, you know, I've been doing this for almost 20 years now. So it's crazy to think like that. So, well, guys, I appreciate you being on, and look forward to seeing you this fall.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Right. Thanks, on. Yep. I'm Casey Seaman with Moving Iron Podcast. Check me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. Go to LinkedIn at Moving Iron Podcast. Check out the YouTube channel, which is the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel, and check the same thing over on TikTok. Go to the MovingIronLLC.com website. It's a brand new site. You see all the information from the Moving Iron Summit, so you can get registered. It's November 4th through the 6th this year, so check that out. So with that, I'm Casey Seymour with George and Nathan. It's going to be some iron, folks. Out.
The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers, and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data. It's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads. D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers. Market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. Find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century.